हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 27. Due to their unauthorized plans for economic development, the price of commodities is rising daily all over the world, so much so that it has become difficult for the poorer classes, and they are suffering the consequences. Unauthorized plans for economic development, because like now, just is a basic thing. Means authorized means it's according to what the direction of Scripture. And the point of the Scripture is what's going to work best for everybody. Right? Means the businessman has to make his profit, government has to make their profit, at the same time the people who are actually generating the money and all that are doing the work that generates the money, they should also be taken care of. Right? Of course, they don't get as much as the people who are organizing it. You know, that's natural. But the point is everybody should get. So therefore, there's limits on the market. How much the prices can rise, how much you can charge in profit on a particular thing, it's in line with the tax, right? In other words, if the tax is less, that means the profit is less. Right? The tax is more, the profit is more. Right? So that's the whole idea, but nowadays it's not based on that, you know, on the value of the item, it's based on what you can get for the item, yes. What people are willing to pay, yes. Right? Just like when they come out with special medicine and that, you know, with very far out diseases, they charge literally an arm and a leg, you know? And so, because, you know, people know it's a life, so this business, they're taking advantage of the people. So this is unauthorized. Mm-hmm. This is actually wrong, right? It should be how much the thing is worth. Even though it may be something very special, it doesn't have to be expensive if it's not expensive to make, right? But because it's all just consideration of what one can get, this is where the unauthorized comes in. Yes?
What about the luxury products?
About the?
Luxury products.
The point is if the tax is more, then the price is more.
No, the taxes, you know, the taxes they usually.
So then the price should be. But the point is there is the element, one devotee who himself, his business was perfumes. You know, I was saying, how much do these things cost to make? This was back in the 80s, so the prices may be a little different. He says the perfume costs about around $1 to make, a little bit more, less, three, depending on what you're putting in it. Says the bottle is the most expensive thing. That costs you $5 to $6. So that meant your product was $6 to $8 total. But you had to sell it for $80, otherwise people would think it's no good. Like if you went and you saw all these perfumes and that, they're all $80, $70, $90, and yours was selling for, $12. They'd say, what's this? It's supposed to be cheap. So he says you have to sell it for that. There's also the concept of the people. But if it's understood, like in India, you get the oils and different things like that. They're expensive. But it's just what the price is. Okay. So the difference between something was very, very small. Now the gap is very, very big. Like I remember 70s, 80s, even sugar. The difference between high quality sugar, average sugar, and cheap sugar is about 10 to 20 pice. Mm-hmm. Like that. So let's say if one was 1 rupee 10, that would be the cheap stuff. The goods, the average stuff, you know, the good stuff was, you know, 130. And the really expensive, like high top of the line was 150. You know, even less. Sometimes, you know, just the gap was so small. Because the point is people who care about money won't spend that extra 20, 30 pice. You know, because they know it all adds up. So then you'd have. So they're making more because it's that little bit more. But it would be based on what the work is. So luxury should also be. Because the point is what we call them luxury because people can't afford them. But before they were just standard items of life. You know, they weren't like nowadays. You get some oil, like attar. You understand? You have the oils, the essential. Then you have what's called attar, which is even more. Like, I think at least before it was, the oil meant it was mixed with sandalwood. So let's say you had cuss, then it was cuss with sandalwood, and that was standard. That was cuss. But then you had attar, which was just cuss, so it was more expensive. So you used to be able to take some, put it on a little piece of cotton, stick it in your ear, and the smell would last for 1 month. Now if you get a day out of attar, you're doing pretty good. You know, most things you get a couple hours and that's it. Does that make sense? You know, so the quality also is not very good, but the prices stay high. So that's the problem is even you're paying good money, it's not necessarily you get anything good. So before it was the quality of life was better. So standard things, because some things that we call luxury aren't supposed to be luxury. They're just supposed to be the nice things in life. You know, things like sandalwood, nice oils, nice these kind of things, good food and stuff like that. Does that make sense? You know, a Rolls Royce, okay, maybe that's something more. Right? That's not required to get around. But these other things, these are just standard what people would have. You know, the spices and that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes rare things are charged more.
Rare has to be more because it's harder to get. It'll cost more anyway because you have to factor in where it's from, what endeavor it took to get it, transportation, storage of it, protection of it. You know, like that. So naturally, rare costs more because it's more endeavor.
Okay.
Is that something? Else?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's it. But the point is when the market, when it becomes available, the price goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But like in India, the price goes up, it doesn't go down. You ever seen like you have on these equalizers when it's showing the sound and it goes up and it stays at a point and never goes down? That's Indian economics.
The oil went down?
Huh?
The oil went down?
Which oil?
Petrol.
A
little bit.
That's just so people feel good. So there's some competition. Like that. Petrol is one of the cheapest. Petrol and perfume are two of the cheapest things to make. Like that. And alcohol. You just take something, throw it into a pot, let it rot for a while, and then bottle it and sell it. Then, you know, so. But they have the highest taxes on them. Yes?
I had a question. What is brand value placed in?
What
is the brand value element? Brand value. So like
brand value.
Yeah, so like obviously some brands charge more than others. So
that's just because they can.
That's just because they can, right? It's not.
Yeah, because it's about the brand, it's not about the thing. So it's just, that's what we're saying, these are all unauthorized things. This one thing is if somebody's doing something is more, you know that. Let's say it used to be you want to get a tambura, you get a Nascar's tambura, right? So then that, or Kanaya Lal Veena, or things like that. So they're more because they put in more effort. It costs more because everybody else, let's say, makes the instrument and it takes them, let's say, 2 months to make, but these guys will take 3 or 4. So they charge more because they're putting in more. Right? But nowadays, you take the same piece of cloth and, you know, you make it into something. And you can get the same piece of cloth on the floor. And the one costs $1,000 and the other one costs you $30. And they're exactly the same thing.
Yeah, because you see sometimes some items come from the same factory and just the label is different. And many times.
Well, that's the way it is in China. It's just in the day they run one label, at night they run another label. You know, so it's fact, because the company, you know, has 8 hours of work. So that means you have 24. So that means you can do other labels. Right? Because it's not, unless they own the factory. If they don't own the factory, then, you know, what's their point? You know, that's why you get, you know, Nikki shoes. Yeah. Like in China, all the devotees there and everybody else, they have whatever you have in Europe, probably all the expensive luxury stuff, and they get it for cheap. And it's actually exactly the same. Right? You've been to China? No. If you see China, everybody's wearing designer clothes. Everybody. And they are designer clothes. Just that they're not made on the label. They're made on something else. So you don't have the label there.
But in India, they also wear those clothes.
Those aren't exactly designer. Those ones are, I don't know where they got those. I think those are, they got those out of the dumpster, right? And just washed them.
No, it's just funny if you see the rickshaw wallets. You
know, yeah, of course. Yeah, well, that's funny. No, but in India, they're wearing the brand names, right? But it's not a brand name.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
In China, they actually have the replica, right?
Yes, but it's not a replica. It's just they put the name on it. Like, you know, every bus in India is a Volvo bus. Every bus. And there's probably not one of them is a Volvo. One or two. Because a Volvo bus costs crores. I think 120 lakhs. Wow. So who's going to actually bring a Volvo bus except for, you know, Delhi or Bombay? Right. You know, so they don't. So, but it's like that. So the point is it's known as something good, but before it was that something good actually had quality. So that's authorized. Just raising the price because you can, that's not authorized. That's why governments are supposed to set the prices, right? But it's fair. In other words, the businessman has to make his profit. They take their tax, and the people benefit. You have to balance all that. So that means that takes intelligence and maturity to do, not just who can get more. You know. Okay. And that, and due to lack of Krishna consciousness, people are being fooled by so-called leaders and plan makers. Right? Because if you're Krishna conscious, as Prabhupada pointed out, you're a little pessimistic about the material world. You're not an optimist about the material world. Maybe you're an optimist about Krishna consciousness, that you know that the ideal can be obtained, and you're an idealist in that way. But in the material world, it's always understood, even if it's great, it's at some point going to be not great. It's just the way the material world is. Therefore, the plan makers are always trying to tell everybody it's going to be fabulous and wonderful, and therefore, you know, be happy like that. Consequently, the suffering of the people are increasing. According to the laws of nature, which are backed by the Lord, nothing can be permanent within this material world. Therefore, everyone should be allowed to take shelter of the Absolute in order to be saved. In this regard, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29, the sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs and material miseries. So if the leaders of society are training people in this, then things will work nicely. Because people know that they are the lord of everything, right? Sacrifices and austerity. So anything that you do, if Krishna is the lord of that, supreme lord of all planets and demigods, so all places and all controllers of those places, and then the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, that they're the actual ones. Otherwise, that's, all of these are used by leadership to place themselves, but Krishna's not used. Right? Does that make sense? Everyone would say benefit and take care and the charity and all that, but it's actually that potency comes from Krishna, the principle comes from Krishna. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, he's the one that's the benefactor. Right? The places and the countries and the ability to rule, that comes from Krishna. Right. So, and then everything that you're doing, whatever religious activity, whatever austerities you do, that's also for Krishna. Mm. So if that's seen like that, then it works nicely. Yes. If it's not seen like that, it doesn't work nicely. So you have to add Krishna into it. Mm. Does that make sense? If one wants peace of mind and tranquility in society, he must accept the fact that the real enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is the proprietor of everything all over the universe, and he is the supreme friend of all living entities as well. By understanding this, people can become happy and peaceful individually and collectively. Mm-hmm. So you have someone who is the authority and is the friend. Because we're used to having a friend who's not the authority, and the authority is not the friend. But actually, Krishna is both.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that, so therefore, there's no problem.
No.
Does that make sense? My dear Lord, any learned person, Pandita, knows that unless he worships you, this entire life is spoiled. Knowing this, how could he give up worshiping your lotus feet? Even our father and spiritual master, Lord Brahma, unhesitatingly worshipped you, and the 14 Manus followed in his footsteps. Right? Because these are all the leaders of mankind. Right? Verse 67. In his purport to verse 67, Srila Prabhupada explains who is actually a wise man, Pandita. The wise man is described in Bhagavad Gita 7.19 in this way. After many births and deaths, he was actually in knowledge, surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Right. So if you have knowledge, you know Krishna is the perfection of that knowledge. Right. And then he's the cause of all causes. So what is causing things to happen? Right. So it means you have a cause of all causes. It means you have a cause. That means there's an activity. That activity has an effect. But what is the cause of that? What's behind it? The underlying. Right. And then when you're going to perform an activity, there'll be a cause. The cause is with something.
Yes.
Right. So Krishna is all that is.
Yes.
So whatever there is Krishna. What you can do with it is Krishna. The results you can get from it is Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're thinking, no, I establish what I can do with it and what I can get from it.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
It's that a particular item can be used in a particular way. And that particular way will get a particular result.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But if we say that whatever I want I do and whatever I want I use, still the potency is Krishna's and whatever is supposed to be done is finally it's going to be done.
Yes, that's the whole point. So that's what we're saying here is that this is what a wise man is. He understands that.
Oh, so he doesn't try to fight Krishna?
No, he just what is there, understanding what it is, he uses it in its appropriate way.
Mm-hmm.
Right, to get the appropriate result to be used appropriately, connected to the Lord. It's others who are not wise, then they will feel, I can do what I like. But even though the results aren't coming, and they're not getting what they want, it's just like, how many instances in history do we have of a politician saying he's going to do something for the people and he actually did it? You know, I mean, accomplished it. Right. Does that make sense? Right. I mean, I'm talking history here. We don't have to just stick to now. We can go back however many thousands of years and across any, you know, international borders you want. So that's the difficulties. But people are still hoping against hope that they will get what they say. You know, most people, they do something, try to do something practical, and if it doesn't work, very soon they give up trying to do that. Right, but on these things, then people just are an illusion. They just keep at it, you know, because they're just really hoping the material world is good. Now, if you understand why can we talk like this, right? It's not we're talking like this about economy, about leadership, about these kind of things. But do we have a problem functioning within the system that's going on? No. So all it is we see the system for what it is. So since it's there, that's what you have to work with. But it's not ideal. Does that make sense? So, because of knowledge, we can see that we're not idealistic about the material world. Right? We're not optimistic. We know it doesn't work very nicely. So, therefore, we can see it for what it is and still work with it. Well, if you can't see for what it is, you either think it's going to be fabulous and go on an illusion, or you know it's all terrible and you won't work with it. The point is it's like this. It's just you're being realistic, so you're being practical. So that makes it, that puts you in that neutral state, but the point is it's supposed to be used connected to Krishna. That makes it then perfect. Just because the material world is not perfect doesn't end yet. So we work with it, but that's not the perfection. The perfection is then being able to use that in Krishna's service. Because there's a point, right, to the economics. There's a point there. You gain the facility required to make yourself and your family Krishna conscious. Right? So that's the whole point. So then you work with what's there. But you don't think that by that economic development, everything's going to be wonderful. No, it means you'll get by. Right? One could say, no, but there are people who, you know, are doing better than getting by. But if you talk to them, they're just getting by. So the experience of just getting by is there from the top to the bottom. Right? Everybody's just getting by. Only those who are renounced, they're the ones that are happy. Right? So something. Yes.
So Maharaj, only a devotee is realistic.
Only a devotee is actually realistic. Someone who follows the Vedic culture could be the realistic.
Yes.
And you do have occasionally individuals, you know, whatever culture they're from, they're a little more practical in their approach to life.
Yes.
That's very rare, you know, like that. So, I say, but the devotee is the one where, as a class, devotees, all, the whole community, can be realistic. Some may be more realistic, some less realistic, but the point is realism is just a natural part of the devotee's life. Because they know the material world is not ideal, it's not. So, does that make sense? That being understood, they're not an illusion about it. They may be still working with illusions, but it's not that they're illusioned about the whole thing. So they understand the position of their illusions.
Yes.
Right? So. Okay. Thus, when a wise man actually becomes wise, after many births and whimsical attempts at self-realization, he surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Such a Mahatma or learned person knows that Krishna, Vasudeva, is everything. Vasudeva sarvam iti. Bhagavad Gita 7:19. So that's what we can see here is such a Mahatma, after many births and whimsical attempts. This would explain, because we may ask, well, how is it that you have these karmas and they have so much understanding or realization about life? This is one of the births. Have they surrendered to Krishna? No, so they have a few more births to go.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean that someone who's thoughtful doesn't notice things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, what do they do with that?
Yes.
So until it comes to the point of surrender to the Lord, then they're not, we wouldn't consider them wise enough.
Yes.
Right? There's something of value to learn, some life, understanding is there. But in that particular aspect, they've contemplated that aspect. But another aspect, they don't necessarily aren't very mature at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when this goes on for many, many lives, then eventually at some point, then they surrender to the Lord. Right? So then that person, then they are actually wise because they know everything. So if you know everything's connected to the Lord, you know everything.
Yes.
Learned persons always think that life is wasted unless they worship Lord Krishna or become his devotee. Srila Rupa Goswami also says that when one becomes an advanced devotee, he understands that he should be reserved and perseverant, shanti, and that he should engage in the service of the Lord and not waste times of yarta kalatvam. Chaitanya Madhya Lila 23:18-19. He should also be detached from all material attraction, virakti, Right? So reserved and perseverant. Reserved means is that something is going nicely, you're reserved. Something's not going nicely, you're perseverant. Right? Because otherwise we get, you know, if something goes very nicely, then we, you know, that's when we just let go, right? And then when things don't go nicely, then we give up.
Yes.
But it can also be an indication that you're doing something wrong.
Which?
When something goes wrong?
Yes.
Then it might be an indication that we should try something else.
Yes, yes, but that's where the perseverant comes in. Yes, perseverant means you don't give up.
Yes.
You try something new.
Oh,
no, because if you just see, as if Shastra is authorizing it, this is what should be done. This is the sadachar of the great personality. So we can be confident that this is what should be done, and we're trying it. It's not working. We just keep trying. Right? Mm-hmm. If we're applying a particular principle to a particular situation, and we're not getting the results, then we start making adjustments until we get the particular activity, you know, and the situation matched to the results.
So it's generic and specific.
Yes. But it also just means on whether the specific thing itself is authorized, like chanting your rounds, that's authorized. So even if it's a difficult situation, we figure out how to get the rounds chanted, right? But let's say one is trying to do some business. So that means you're going to sell something for more than you bought it. Right? So now you're going to try different situations to sell that. So if one situation didn't work, you keep trying another. Or the situation seems to be okay, but the item you're selling is not right. Or the item you're selling is okay, but then maybe there's some other aspect you have to take care of, your advertising or things like that. So you just keep adjusting until that works. Economics is the principle. What you're selling, where you're selling it, these are details. Does that make sense? But always being absorbed in hearing the Lord's name, hearing and chanting, that's a principle. So that maintains. So the situations change, but that is always there. Does that make sense? You know, or like cooking. You will cook, but now what utensils you have, what you're cooking, that may have to change. Does that make sense? So like you said, whether it's generic or specific. Like that, but the more is that whether the, you know, the, in other words, the primary aspect is always there. The secondary you may have to adjust. You know, so it's like you sit down in a quiet place, you know, in front of the deities, you chant your rounds, you know, straight without getting up, you know, all 16 at one shot. Okay, great. Now, you know, then there's, you know, writing on the subway, you know, going to work and trying to get your rounds done. Right? I mean, you could possibly take along the portable altar, just set it up there, you know, and everything like that. And, you know, you might even get the space because everyone thinks this guy's weird, and they just all kind of gravitate away, you know, like that. And, you know, after a while, people would know. Someone comes to sit in the seat. No, no, the guy's coming. He sets up his altar here. You don't want to be here. Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Reserve.
Yeah, reserve. Yeah. Okay. Should not waste time. Avyarta kala tvam. So, all the time should always be used in something that's getting some benefit, right? Because the benefit should be ultimately that it pleases Krishna. And it should be something that is moving forward that can be used to please Krishna. Either something that pleases Krishna directly, or something that can be used to please Krishna directly. And something that can't be used to please Krishna directly, that's a waste of time. That should be given up. Right? Like that.
Okay. So,
yes.
If we don't use the time properly, it means it's laziness. It's,
can be, or lack of knowledge, lack of experience.
Yes.
Like, means if we know what is the proper thing and we don't do it, then that would be laziness.
Yes.
Like that. But if we don't necessarily know and we're trying, then we start to adjust around until we find what works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that something? So you just try. In other words, what are the authorized options? And then you just keep trying until something works.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Then be detached from all material attraction, virakti. So if we have, if the reason we do things is because of material attraction, then we're always going to have problem. Mm-hmm. Because the material attraction, though, that's what's inspiring us to do something, we're always going to be disappointed and frustrated.
Yes.
Right. So even you want to do it, fine, do it. But no, have the knowledge that you will get frustrated. And so as we get frustrated, then add that to your, you know, list of experiences so that you eventually go, okay, no need to do that anymore. Right. So the reason that we do something is because it's supposed to be done. Right? Mm-hmm. So this may be one of the worst scenarios in the modern contemporary context, mm-hmm. that you do something because you're supposed to. Yes. But that's what maintains the stability in society and relationships. That's what gains the results that you want. Yes. Right? Isn't it? It means the guy who does what he wants, when he wants, you know, he's okay. He's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. Is he well situated? Is he wealthy? Is he powerful? Is he influential? No, he's a nice guy. So when you get together with your other friends that are powerful, wealthy, and you know, influential like that, then he's nice to have around, because your life is actually boring. Because your reason you're powerful, wealthy, and influential is because you do the same thing every day, day in, day out, no matter whether you feel like it or not. Right? And so if you just want to relax, this guy's fun to have around. But if you want to do work, forget it. Yes. Right? He's not your man. Right? So that's the whole thing. It's proven itself if you're stable and steady at something, no matter what the situation, you get results. It's a proven fact. Now, whether anybody wants to agree emotionally with that or not is another thing. Therefore, the training. So the people that can do that, right? They come from families where they're trained about that from when they're small. Mm-hmm. Right? From when you're talking, you always talk about that. Mm-hmm. So, and the sooner they talk about that, the farther they get. You know, just like we say, you want to throw a ball or a rock, the farther back you take your arm is how far forward it's going to go. Mm-hmm. So after they're born, when they, you know, just when you're talking to them, you're still talking to them in these ways. Like that, pleasant, because they're a kid. But the point is the principles of reality of how the work and this and that and what the, and reaction, action and reaction. Then, when they get bigger, that's what they're made out of. Yes. The samskaras is doing that. Mm-hmm. So one can say all one wants about these aristocratic families or, you know, all these old families that are in positions of, but they train their kids like that from the beginning. Right? Most people, they're in university and they're taking some degree. They don't know what they're going to do when they graduate. Isn't that a bit late? Shouldn't you already know what you're doing?
Right? They don't even know when they're 40.
That's another thing. Yeah, yeah, that's another thing. So finally you figured it out. You know.
Dead.
Huh?
Dead.
Yeah, no, yeah, or just before you're dead. Just before you're dead. And then you lament that, why didn't I do this back
then?
Yeah. Yeah, but then because that's your habit, the next life you'll be like that. And then instead of when you're dead, it'll be a couple, you know, a little bit before you're dead, then the life before that, until finally after hundreds of lifetimes to get it down to, yeah.
And according to what we just said, that those people who usually dutiful and follow the order and everything, they're very boring guys, and nobody wants really to be around them except for business.
That's there. That's also the problem with the modern, is because it doesn't have that completeness. So they don't know how to be individuals and do all these other things. But generally, the people like that aren't leaders. Right? They're generally not the leaders. They're ones that are good at doing what they do, you know, on the bottom or middle management and stuff like that. But the top, you'll get them rarely. Guys on the bottom, they can be extremely common. You know, guys in the middle, then if you get one of those, actually, you're probably pretty good in the middle management, because generally they tend to be a little crazy. you know, puffed up and stuff like that. So, like that. And the guys on the top, if they're like that, then, you know, everybody respects them because they're so well situated. You know. But, so the Vedic point is that if you have a lifestyle, then this is just to support it. Then you get a balance. Does that make sense? So, but the point is, do we, let us start from this point. Do we agree that stability in effort brings better result than whimsicality in effort? Okay. So then, we should not use stableness as then equated with boring, therefore not important. We should go, okay, being stable in things, a weakness is you can become boring, therefore you should work on not becoming boring.
Kind of limited on how much you can work on something at the same time.
No, but the point, but that's what we do all the time, no?
Yes.
Yeah, everything we do means that. It's just like, okay, you want to make millions. How much time is there in the family? Yeah, so you have to balance how much money and how much time with the family. You know, how much time with the family, how much time with your sadhana.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So all these things have to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So already, you can spend 24/7 on a career, and people do it. You can pay 24/7 on the family. You can pay 24/7 on your sadhana. So each one of those can take up 24 hours.
But the results would be different.
Yes, but the point is you have to balance according to your nature, you know, what is there. Without compromise, in other words, you can't compromise one for the other. Right? You can't compromise the family for economic development. You can't compromise, you know, any of those for your sadhana. Right? And so Prabhupada's given, you know, a very simple basic sadhana. So even if you followed all of it, it's 4 hours in a day. Basically, if you throw in, if you want to do something, you can do something in the evening, then you can throw in more. But basically, that may be, you know, how you say, 5 hours in a day. Maximum 6. Someone's very enthusiastic. Right? So then that leaves you, then 8 hours for work. So that's 14. And then 10 hours for family. And, you know, this includes, you know, all eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So it all gets tossed into that 10 hours. So then, you know, it'll work out. You know, and then when you have devotees that spend a little less on the sadhana, you know, like that, then where's that extra time going? You know, are they getting the benefit? Are they getting, you know, is the family life developed so much more, their economics is so much more? Yeah, no, so okay. They're not, you know, at the temple as much as would be ideal and all that, but they're making tons of money so they can donate nicely to projects or head up projects. Great. Okay, someone has to do it. But are they doing that? No. Is their family life fabulous? You know, it's just like most wonderful. You talk to ladies, it's the best thing ever. Right? Good chance not. So then that's not wasting time and being detached from material attraction. Does that make sense? So the point being is that if you're detached from material attraction, you can actually work harder at what you're doing. The modern is you only work because of your attraction, so they're constantly trying to generate attraction. But the point is if you have an ultimate goal, then these things are just goals on the way. So therefore, you don't have to have an attraction to do them. Just like you want your toast. You know, is it a whole thing? You have to have a big advertisement. Your mom has to come and do a song and dance so that you put the bread in the toaster and push the thing down. You understand? So if that's all there is, then that would be, you know, the commercials would have there, you know, Popeye would be toasting toast instead of eating spinach. You know, stuff like that. You know, it'd all be going on. You know, just have to watch out SpongeBob doesn't end up in the toaster because he's square, right? You know, so. That makes sense. You know, but if you do, you know, then the problem is which side you put the butter on, right? Because on the front, his nose is going to get in the way, and you definitely don't want to put it on the back, so. Right? Okay, so. Does that work? Okay. He should not long for any material respect in return for his activities. Mana shunyata. Because if you want respect, then the problem is you're not going to perform the activities sincerely, which is to get the result. So then your result is you want to be respected. And so in the beginning, maybe you work hard, and people give you the respect because you're getting the respect because it kind of builds up. Then you start to not work as hard. So at some point, they'll stop respecting. Or you get the activity of where you don't get the respect, and so you just stop doing the work. So again, the proper performance of duty. Right? It's what one's supposed to do, therefore one does it. And the point is, ultimately you find out if you do your duties, it actually makes you happy. Because Krishna's created the duties that go along with a particular mentality. Does that make sense? Yeah. So just like, let's say, the householder spends time with the family. Okay. Now, most will do it because of their attraction to that. And then if the attraction's not there, they don't do it. Right? But the Vedic thing is that that's part of the duties. You're supposed to do that. Right? And so then with time, you're comfortable doing that. You get the results that you're looking for. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that, then we try. We make that endeavor. Yes.
So Maharaj, if we perform our duties, automatically the symptoms are going to develop.
Yes. Yes. If everyone performs their duties based on authority, then everything's going to develop. It's just like, let us say everybody, if someone has a business concern, and all of his employees all work full time. You know, it means they're full time that they're supposed to be there. To the best of their ability. Mm-hmm. Is he going to make profit or not?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that. So therefore he makes more money. Because he makes more money, he can pay them properly, they get more. Yes. He makes more, he pays more tax.
Yes.
And he has more profit.
Yes.
So the whole point is it all balances. Mm-hmm. The people get more, he gets more, the government gets more. So everybody's prosperous.
Yes.
Well, nowadays it's just one or the other tries to get more at the expense of the other. The people try to get more. It means that labor unions are striking to get more, but are they encouraging the people to work harder so that the businessman gets more? Okay, they're going to be paid more, but is there an obligation that I should work harder? No. Like that. The businessman wants to pay less tax, but does that mean he's going to also not be working so much to make money? No, he's going to make more money. And his making more money, is he going to feel obligated to pay more to his workers? No. So that's the problem, is because duty is not being performed according to authority. Therefore, the whole system is actually designed to be not prosperous, or to be prosperous temporarily. It comes up, then it goes down. But the Vedic is meant, it's a sustainable prosperity. Because the point is, it's not about how much money you make, it's about whether you have the stuff that money buys. Right? Mm-hmm. So, if, let's say, something that's a luxury item is cheap, and therefore I have it, I don't have to have more money, because it's not expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, he said, before it was a millionaire, was considered a very rich person. You know, he's made it in the world. Then you had guys that were, you know, filthy rich that you just didn't even count. Right? But now $1 million, some places it won't even buy you an apartment. A 2-bedroom apartment. $1 million. Right? That's ridiculous. So it's being a millionaire doesn't even mean anything anymore. So that's the whole thing. The whole economy... It appears that everything's more prosperous because they can have more shiny things. But if you look in general, it's not that the people in general are more prosperous. Right? Does that make sense? You can say, okay, the growing middle class, but what's the quality of life that the middle class has? The growing middle class, is there, you know, I said, no, that's not growing. Well, the emerging middle class. It's always emerging, right? It's never actually established. You know? So the emerging middle class, they have more. What do they call that? The money that's free to spend. It's not actually free, but they spend it anyway. Disposable income, right? Technically, no income is disposable. It's supposed to be used for something of value, right? But it's disposable because then they have it. But they have it based at what expense? You know? So that's the point, is that it's going to come out of their sadhana, it's going to come out of their lifestyle, it's going to come out of the quality of the items they have. Mm-hmm. Like, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, like that, it's not that it's improved. You can say, no, but everything's improved. How is it improved? What's the quality of life? Is it better? Right? People have more space than they used to. Mm-hmm. Right? To live in. Right? They have more air. Right? Isn't it? Right? The sound, that peaceful, you know, the birds chirping, the butterflies flitting and all that is better. The sun's more shining. Right? You know, what is better?
Gadgets
are better. Gadgets are better, okay. Yes, gadgets are better. On one level, but, you know, on another level, then...
Not that better, but still.
Huh?
I saw an advertisement that you used to charge a phone previously once a week. Now you have to do it twice a day.
I'd say 3 or 4 times a day. Just have to keep it constantly. If you're not using it, it should be plugged in. Yes, it used to be like that. You use it once a week like that, and it went forever. Especially the bigger phones. That was the advantage. Yeah. Yes.
Economically, within Varnashram, can we say that at the different Varnas, there are different, like some can have a communist element, some can have a capitalist element?
No, they're all like that. They're all like that. The Shudras work on that socialist kind of element. Vaishyas are capitalism. The kings that work at, you know, the administrative aspect, the duty. Right? If you perform, that's why the kings, their business is to see the duties going on, because that's where their position is. And the Brahmins, it's just that they're not worried about things. Like that. Does that make sense? So all the systems are functioning together. That's why only Varnashram can do that. Because in the modern, you use one, and then it doesn't make anything else. If you have anarchy, does anything work at all? You end up like cavemen, right? You know, so, and if you have just the administration working, then you have the dictatorships and the complete control, and then nothing develops, no economics, right? So that's what happened with your communism, because you can say that it's communism, but that's only the front of it. Its actual functioning of government was dictatorship, or, you know, totalitarianism. So therefore, business doesn't flourish, people don't flourish, so therefore they run out of money, and so... You know, the communism in Russia collapsed because there was no money, not because it was such an ideal and this and that. His point is, the sense it's collapsing, and you want to get on top of the wave, come in with an idyllic thing, stand on a tank, yell and scream, and then, you know, things work nice for you. Right? No?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the point is it collapsed. And so then seeing that, then the next country over to see that they didn't collapse, they just introduced economics. So now they're probably one of the most powerful economic countries in the world. Right? You know, they have the most investments and the most manufacturing of any place in the world. They're actually, in that way, the most powerful country. But they're still communist. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is these things don't have to be matched together. The whole point is the Vedic system is the only one where all of them can match and work nicely. You know, it's just like you go to England and some other countries, they take the socialism and it's not putting on the government, they put it down on the bottom level for the common people. You know, so there's, you know, free medicine, free this, free that. You know, so that socialist state. Does that make sense? So they go for that. America's stayed away from it, because then too much resources goes into there. Right? So the whole point is that it's there, but that's more its place. if you put the capitalism at the administrative level, then how do you define duties? You know what I'm saying? Everybody does exactly the same thing. That's not going to work. You have to be able to distinguish that different people do different things. So that aspect works better on the bottom. Now, businessmen, unless they work on capitalism, how are they going to make money? Right? NGOs aren't famous for making a whole lot of money. Right? Does that make sense? You know. So the idea is that they have to work there. Administration has to set laws. But laws according to what? And the nature of the individuals they're dealing with. In other words, you're ruling, so you have to set laws according to who you're ruling. And different groups of individuals have different laws. Does that make sense? Yes. And then the Brahmins, because they're working according to Shastra and all that, they aren't included in these other three aspects. So it's not actually anarchy.
Okay.
You understand? Because they follow the laws of Shastra, laws of God. But they're not under the taxes and all these other things. You know, so they're not working on welfare activities, they're working on charity. They're not working on a profit. It's like they do a ritual for you. You give, you know, very nicely for it. If you wanted to make a business out of it, you couldn't get so much. You know what I'm saying? The government's giving that leeway to them. But they're not... What are they doing? Are they using up a lot of resources? Or no, they hardly use any resources. So, therefore, then the profit of that is you're not expecting much from them in the way of the material, but you're getting so much in the way of knowledge and spiritual. So that's the profit they add. Right? So the Brahmins offer that knowledge and direction. Right? The Kshatriyas offer structure and stability. The Vaishyas offer the economic. The Shudras offer the assistance. Right? So then it works perfectly. It's a perfect system. But you have to understand its balance to make it work. Because the reason it doesn't work is because each one of these systems on their own, like communism, all across the board, does it have a good reputation? No. Socialism, a little bit better. Right? Like that. Capitalism, right? Everybody's got something to say about capitalism, except capitalists. Right? Not even they got something to say about it, but they're laughing. They're making the money, so they don't care. Right? Does that make sense? You have the administration is in complete control. Problems there. Brahmins are totally independent, just do whatever they like without considering everybody a problem. So from the modern, you have all these four systems, and they fail because they're not authorized. So therefore, then we have a problem with it. You know, you say, oh, the Shudras, oh, you can't say that about the Vaishyas. Oh, but why they, you know, the Shudras, why do they have so many Brahmins? Why are they so independent? You know, it's always, you know, the Brahmins are too independent. You know, why do they have so much? The Shudras aren't independent enough. You know, the Vaishyas make too much money. You know, it's just like, let us say, you have a devotee, he wants to do, you know, some business in connection with the temple. Okay? How much profit does he get? No. Now, let's say he accrues the business and makes more money. So the temple administration, what do they consider, who should get that extra profit? The temple. Oh, 50 is not bad. Most people, it's just you get a fixed amount and you have to make as much as you can. Rather than the more you make, the more you get. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's how capitalism works. You make more, you work harder. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. It's not seen. And as I mentioned, the funnest one is they take 50% of net. So that's impossible. You know, because net that you're going to spend most of the money is going to go on paying for everything. And so profit's actually a small amount. So you can't work because no one has the background to understand it. And at the same time, there's not the background to function according to duties. So then how do you make the Varnashram work? There's no knowledge, there's no experience. Right? There's no samskar.
No chance.
Yeah, so no chance, yeah. So the point is that these things work because of good qualities. You see, here's we're taking a quality and it's reflected in the form that it takes. Does that make sense? That we're discussing these qualities required, you know, by someone who's engaged in the society, in devotional service, right? Learned person. So this means for a wise man. That we're discussing varnashram, we're discussing devotional service. Because that's how they'll be maintained, that's how they'll be expressed. Right? Is that so that's the difficulty, because if we discuss varnashram, generally it's just a mechanical system of economics and government, right? So the Brahmins and Shudras always get left out, right?
But the active principle of anarchy is freedom.
It's freedom. But the freedom to always be engaged under authority. Like that. So the whole point is if you're going to have a relationship, then that you give up freedom. So the point is, if the anarchist really wants to be a true anarchist, he'd just go out into the forest and live alone.
Yes.
That would be true anarchy.
Yes.
Because as soon as you have a people and you make a community, then you have to work together.
Yes.
You know? And they will set restrictions well beyond. Right? If you have a group of anarchists, their particular social life that they live amongst themselves is way more restrictive than the common person. And they're the ones talking about freedom. Right? They can only eat this, or only dress in that, or only, you know.
They're childish.
Yeah. So the whole point, you know, so you know what I'm saying? They're more restrictive. You know, the housewife goes out, you know, and looks about what's available to buy, you know, for clothes and this and that. What has a good deal and it looks nice, she buys it. But the anarchist, no, he can't wear this because this is done by the capitalists and this and that. We can only use this and that. And you know, so it's, they're way more restrictive, but at the same time they're talking freedom. Mm-hmm. So the greater their freedom, the greater their restriction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They don't see that.
So it's a reflection of the actual situation.
Yeah, just like the shooter. He wants more money, but then you got to put in more work. Right, where's the more money going to come from? It just comes from magic. It's just always the businessman is just sitting there and enjoying himself. Right? So it's like, okay, even he took, okay, let's say he sold his rolls. Okay? He sells his rolls. Now he takes that money from the rolls and divides that up amongst everybody in the factory. How much is everybody going to get? Yeah, nothing. So, but it's looked like, oh, he lives so much. He's like, it's not that much. So that's the whole point. Where is this money going to come from? But they don't mind striking, closing the factory. It means it's not making money. But they want more money. Where's the money coming from? You know, it's just always, oh, they're so rich. But what does that mean, so rich? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that you want more money, but then, okay, that's your right, but where's your obligation? So that's the whole thing. That it always balances, but it's balanced in an unauthorized way. It means the modes of nature will always balance. Water always finds its level. But your approach is unauthorized, so therefore the combination doesn't come out nice. Does that make sense? So the Veda gives direction so that everybody does that. But to follow it, you have to have these qualities. And these qualities come from devotional service. So by proper performance of devotional service, these qualities will come. Then we apply these qualities. So it has to be seen there. Then it has the form of the sadhana, of the culture, of the varnashram. Then everything comes. But that's how it's top down. This whole bottom up kind of thing doesn't work. You know, unless you're at a pub. Then it works quite well. Right? Yeah, so not gaining, desiring the results, so that means then you'll be sincere about it. One is you can please the Lord. If you desire results for it, then where's the results for Krishna? Right? So then it will always be mixed. So the idea of being pure devotional service, then you don't want a result for yourself. So it can't be that there's respect coming from that. Right? You do your work, respect will come, but you can't be doing your work for that. Right? And he should be certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon him, asha bandhana. So he's always, if you follow, Krishna will always respond. So that the weakness in the equation is us, not Krishna. It's not that, well, if I do, will he give the results and stuff. No, we can't do that. It has to be that we know, we follow this, the results will come. So if we think the results aren't coming, it means we're not knowing what the results should look like, or we're not applying ourselves nicely.
Well, they will come in the future.
Yes, they'll come in the future, but it's, the point is that, yes, it can also be the time factor, you know. Like, probably gives the examples that the young wife, she wonders, where's the kid? You know, it takes time. I got married, so where's the kid? You know, so that's the, it takes time also. So you have to have that aspect.
Yeah. Maharaj, how do we see Krishna coming through? Like, how do we see in our life? You said it takes time. How can we notice?
By symptoms.
Yeah,
it means knowledge, detachment, you know, the being fixed in devotional service. Where are you in the Shraddha, the Prema? You know, so you have to contemplate those. You know, not from the platform of, I'm such a great guy, you know, but from the platform of just seeing what in reality is there. What were attachments before? What are they now? You know, like that. Does that make sense? And then how much are we interested in being with devotees? How much do we like to chant? How much do we like to take prasad? Like that. You know, generally we do pretty good with that one right out of the gate. But, you know. So at least we have one aspect of spontaneity that's valuable, right? You know.
But not anymore. There's so many vegans and you cannot eat this, you cannot eat
that. Yeah, no, that's there. That's there. But that's
The natural enthusiasm goes down.
It's also just the quality of, if effort is put into to eating, you know, the prasad is an important aspect, then we'll see the quality of it is good. Because before that was the one thing, is you want to any temple in the movement, it had the same quality of prasad. Like that. So that was always guaranteed. So, because effort is there, was considered valuable. So they put it. They put their, you know, good people in there and have proper. Yeah, no. Because now, generally, for a manager, if you want to cut the budget, you know, you slim the budget, first thing to go is prasad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that also, you know. And he should always be eager to serve the Lord faithfully, samud kanta. So that faithfulness, because it's a matter of, that is the relationship. We are servant of the Lord. Right? So that application is what we want. That will work very nicely. Does that make sense? Yeah, so having that faith, because the whole process, devotional process, is based on faith. Shraddha. You know, if you have, let's say, one unit of Shraddha, you know, just as an example, then it's called Shraddha. When you have two units of Shraddha, then it's called Sadhu Sangha. Three units of Shraddha, then it's called Bhajana Kriya. You understand? That just keeps going. So when you have nine units, it's called Prema. Right? So that's what's building a Shraddha. So if one doesn't have faith, then there's a problem. So by the conditioning, one doesn't have faith, and that's not really a problem in that, you know, who has faith in the material world anyway? But if we don't have faith in the spiritual, then that's a defect. Mm-hmm. Right? If someone's pessimistic about the world, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if he brings that pessimism into spiritual life, then that will be a problem. Mm-hmm. Right? That's where his conditioning will get in the way. Yes.
Can we define Shraddha? I'm sorry. Can we define Bhava as the extension of Shraddha then?
No. We can say that Bhava is what expands down to Shraddha. Mm. So Bhava is the bud of Prema. So when you say the 10 stages of Prema, Bhava is counted as the first. Though it's not counted as Prema until it gets to the second level. So it's Bhava that's there it's Bhava that's represented there. It's the potency of Bhava that is Shraddha. Okay. You understand? Does that make sense? And so when that matures, it comes to the point of stable ecstasy. So it's called bhava. But then when that becomes stable, then it's called prema. Yeah.
So shraddha and bhava are kind of the same.
Shraddha is made out of bhava, but it's not the volume that you call it bhava.
Okay.
Yes. You know, it's just like the coins in the beggar's pocket is called money. Right? But it's not exactly the same volume as the rich man. But it's the same thing. So in other words, Shraddha is made out of bhava.
Yeah.
But it's just not the volume that you call it bhava. Therefore, when it's just in a beginning stage where you have that attraction to the Lord, that, you know, in theory this looks like it's good, that's called Shraddha. But when that is the point where your life and soul is Krishna, that attraction, that's called bhava. Right? Does that make sense? So it's the volume is there, but it's made out of the same thing. Right? So it's not that from here goes there, it's from there. Because we always have to remember we function on a descending process. Because we're always thinking, I do this, that's why I get advanced in devotional service. No. You do this, Krishna says do this. You do this, Krishna's pleased, you advance. So at all stages it's descending. We just take part. You know, so we're not the cause. Like that. Krishna's the cause.
Is it descending also in the sense of descending from the spiritual world to the
conditioned
rat?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that so? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the difficulty is our vision is reversed from what it's supposed to be. That's why we see everything backwards to what it should be. Modern is the liberal and broad and accommodating, and Vedic is the narrow-minded and that. But as we were discussing this morning, it's Vedic is the broad one. The modern is narrow. All it is the modern you can do one of these at a time, whichever you like. If we say do them all at once, oh, that's so narrow. You know what I'm saying? You do one thing, you have a nice meal, or, you know, you go to something where you dress up, or, you know, you have some friends over and interact. Whatever, all those are together. You know, it's a party. It's a festival.
Yeah,
so that means the Vedic system is a festival. And the modern is doing one here, one there.
And not even properly doing it.
Yes, and not even properly doing it. Yeah. Yes. Is that what you said? Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that our vision is backwards. That's why Krishna says mode of ignorance, you take religion and say it's irreligion, take irreligion and say it's religion. So we say no, but the modern, you know, it's liberal, it's accommodating, the Vedic, it's, you know, unequal to people in how you say?
Boxes,
but what's the other thing where they define them?
Pigeonhole?
Huh? No, not the pigeonhole, it's not a slang, it's
demographics.
Demographics, but
designation.
Yes. Oh, you're designating. So we're designating. We're going to go somewhere in this car. You know, oh no, that's bad. How can you designate? What, you know, the paperclip would like to take you. You know. You know. So that's the difficulty, is that it's seen as the liberal and Vedic. No matter what you bring up, there's always something. Because why will it always be a problem? From the modern perspective, why will the Vedic always be a problem? Guaranteed, 100%.
About Krishna.
It is about Krishna, and it's backwards from what we're doing here. Right? The material world is backwards from the Vedic. Right? At least from our background. You know, if anybody hears from a smarter background, then, you know, don't mind. You know, so it's backwards. So that means anything from the Vedic, there's something opposing it in the modern. So then it's a matter of which side, where do we place our faith? In the modern? Since when has it proven itself? When has the modern come through and delivered? When? Does everybody have you know, a car in their garage and a chicken in their pot? You know? No. But that's what was promised. That's the American dream. I don't know why a chicken. Yeah, it's just, why a chicken? Why not something else? But that was the thing, a chicken in every pot. And I think it was a car in every garage. Or maybe it was two cars. I think it was two cars in every garage. Yeah, two cars in every garage. You know, so that's America. Yeah, one car, that's just, you know, get her by. But two cars, that's America. You know, because then you can be out driving and there's one there for the wife, you know, like that. And then generally one of you's there, so that means the kids can borrow it and all that. Yes?
Right, all the teachings on this platform, they're all against Vedic. In the schools and religions and this.
No, everybody. So it's, so that therefore you can understand by the definition in Gita, that's the mode of ignorance. Yes. People will be very, no, but I found a fault, so there's something wrong with it. No, all you've done is brought out the mode of ignorance. So whoopee, you found the perspective of ignorance. You know, you should get an award, right?
It's like everybody is being pulled down a dark well.
Yes, but they're going down together. You know, like that. That's the whole thing. Right. Okay. So that's all. So that's why then you have to start with the principles. Because the Varnashram, though it's based on principles, as we see, we mentioned the things, but it's the details that catch. So you talk with about the principles. If you talk about these principles that you have, you know, you should, you know, do your work without having desiring the results, it means the fame for it and why that's good, people will agree with that.
Yes.
Like anything that we're discussing here, yes, people would agree with all of that. You just discuss it, avoiding all details that's going to get in the way, so they understand the principle. Once that's there, then they may get some faith. Then they can start appreciating, okay, this is the standard form to apply that. Because where does the modern have the form to apply it? You know, that the middle manager, how is he encouraged that he's going to continue and work hard? What he's going to get for it, his recognition and everything. You know, and if he's taken out of that, he just becomes a common guy that's not recognized. You know, so you know, this breaking this point of you know, not longing for any material respect in return for his activities, that's one of the main driving points of the modern economy. Like that. So you have to understand is that when you understand that this is good and the economy would go even better, then it's okay, we'll give up this lower one. Because you give up the lower for the higher, so you have to show the higher. Because what happens is you take Vedic and just people just take, and here's modern, and just that they're as if they're equals. You know, like that. Here we have the king, and here we have the local, you know, street gang leader, and they're equal. You know, so that's the difficulty is that due to lack of reference, then individuals will take that modern and Vedic actually are on equal levels. You know, it's like, you know, the nursery school and the what do you call it? The PhD are on the same level. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. The wise man is always very eager to glorify the Lord by chanting and hearing. Namagane sada ruchi. So he always wants to glorify and all that. So that being the case, you'll always work that into whatever you're doing. Right? And he is always eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Ashaktis tad guna kyane. So that's going to be the point, is whatever you're doing, its glory is because of its connection to the Lord. That's what makes it special. It's not connected to the Lord, it's actually not special. Right? Because why is it not special? Because it is the Lord, so it is special. But we don't get the benefit of the specialness unless we connect it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. He should also be attracted to those places where the Lord had his pastimes. Pritis tad vasati stale. Pritis tad vasati stale. Right? So where the Lord performs his pastimes, that's where the devotees like to be. So they like to be in Vrindavan and Mayapur, you know, in Puri. They like to do that. That's the point. Or, you know, if one's not here, then the temple, because that's where the Lord, the deity is, he's performing his pastimes there. Yes. So that's why we like to, yes, to be there. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's there. Not just saying, oh, but it's all the same, it's all the this and that. On one level, it is all the same. On another level, then why are we saying it's all the same? Mm. You know? Is it because we actually see it as all the same? Or is it because we're more comfortable in an environment that's different from where the Lord performed his pastimes?
And the secularizing the environment where the Lord performed his pastimes is actually very convenient for this type of...
Yes. Because we're used to that secular mentality, so then we tend to use it. Because we just take something that's personal and impersonalize it, and then we complain that people aren't being personal. That's the fun part. All the rules are bureaucratic, just generic rules, but then if somebody doesn't respond in a very personal way, then they're at fault. So that's the problem. Is in the modern, the contradictions are there, but you can't resolve them. Right? They make no sense and they get no benefit. While the Lord's pastimes, it has seemingly conflicting positions, but it works so perfectly. You know, Krishna is equal to everybody, but he gives preference to the devotees. That works. But the modern, it doesn't work. The more we go, the more impersonal it is, and the more we demand personal responses. And who defines? Whoever is in a position to define. Right? Not that there's a standard. So it's always going to work. So the Vedic is, there's always a standard. Right? It's documented. Right? The acharyas give example and explanation. So it can always be found. Right? And if it's not clear, then senior Vaishnavas get together, they discuss it, they come to a conclusion, and then that becomes the point in that case.
Yes.
Right. These are symptoms of an advanced devotee, right? So G was asking before, how do you know? You were asking before, how do you know? So this is how you know. So when these things manifest in your person, then you know you're advancing. Does that make sense? Sorry?
Which is the purport?
Which is the purport? The we were just, this one that we're going through here?
So the 6, 6, 24, 67. Or
4, 24, 67. Yeah, 4, 24,
yeah.
Yes? No? Okay.
So this quality I explain in which book of Srila Rupa Goswami?
You would get this Nectar Devotion. It's also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So all these things are all come from, because these are standards. So then they're regularly discussed. Mm-hmm. We just don't tend to put them together because we don't work on the concept of frameworks.
Yes.
Any framework is there for a specific thing. It's not a universal thing. So then as soon as that's there, it's thrown out, and then the next thing.
Yes.
Right. Plus the temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But the Vedic is, no, you have these frameworks that are eternal. They always apply. Just the experience is how to apply them, because if you're taking one formula, it can apply to everything. It has to have a wide understanding to apply it.
Yes.
So the more mature the understanding, the greater the yes, the application you can use. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's why it seems to be contradictory, because all situations are contradictory to each other. So which aspect you're taking down to the one, and on another one you take a different one. Right? But it all goes back to the same point. So you know what the point is, you know what its next principles are, and then where it goes from there. And then from that way you can find how it connects up. Mm-hmm. Right? So one thing is connecting to the main point of, let's say, sambandha, but through a different detail than some other aspect. Right? Yes. Coming up through a different quality and then getting to the point. But it's still sambandha.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yes. Or it's still abhideya, or it's still prayojana.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So depending on where you're putting it. Like, let's say, I'm doing an activity right now, it gets a result, so that result would be prayojana. But that result of prayojana is simply part of the field, or sankarshan, of what I'm going to use for the ultimate point of Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So you have to know where, you know, which way you're looking at it, where it, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, what was it you were saying? What were you saying here? You were saying yesterday about, we were discussing something, and then it was about, you had, I think you had Krishna, and then when you zoomed in into his eye, then on his eye, you were saying?
Tirukadamba
was saying. Yeah. Is then you could see Radharani, and then when you zoomed in her eye, you could see Krishna, like that.
Yes.
You know, so it just depends on which perspective you're looking at which... Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the next verse is a summary of Lord Shiva's prayers. My dear Lord, all actually learned persons know you as the Supreme Brahman and the Supersoul. Although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, Rudra Bhaya, who ultimately annihilates everything, for the learned devotees, you are the fearless destination of all. So they're afraid of Rudra, but the point is he is the destination. If things are destroyed, you take shelter. Where do you take shelter? Of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada writes, the word Rudra Bhaya is significant in this verse because Rudra himself, Lord Shiva, is speaking of fear of Rudra. This indicates that there are many Rudras, 11 Rudras, and the Rudra, Lord Shiva, who is offering this prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is different from the other Rudras, although he is as powerful as they are. The conclusion is that one Rudra is afraid of another Rudra because each and every one of them is engaged in the destruction of this cosmic manifestation. But for the devotee, everyone is afraid of Rudra. Oh, but for the devotee, everyone is afraid of Rudra, even Rudra himself. A devotee is never afraid of Rudra because he is always secure, being protected by the lotus feet of the Lord. As Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. My dear Arjuna, you may declare publicly that my pure devotee will not be vanquished under any circumstances. Right? So they always continue as a devotee. Things go on. Things are glorious. Just it means the situation they were in, that may be not going nicely, but the whole thing still works.
What?
Yes.
But why then Rudra would be afraid of Rudra if he also understands that it's just temporary and then he will become Rudra again? The same logic.
No, but just about the destruction. In other words, the destructive power of Rudra is quite fearful.
And devotee can care less because he... What?
Because they have shelter of Krishna. So, the power of Rudra is great. This is very destructive. It's something to be fearful of. But why is fear there?
Identification?
Yes.
Attachment.
Yes. So if you identify as servant to the Lord... Then the shelter is always there. There's no loss.
So Rudra we're talking about is the our neophyte demigod.
Prabhupada mentions all 11 Rudras.
Yes.
So each one is afraid of the other one.
My point is put the devotee over them.
Yes, because the devotee is in a superior position on one level to Shiva, because he's taking the position of a demigod and performing functions within the material manifestation within the Mahatattva. So on that level, then the devotee is beyond Shiva, because he is situated in the spiritual world. He's taking shelter of the Lord. That's why a devotee of the Lord, of Vishnu, is on a superior position to the devotee of Shiva, because the devotee of Shiva will be destroyed. The devotee of Vishnu is never destroyed. But at the same time, is Rudra is a devotee, so therefore he's also in that way. So amongst devotees, he's a senior devotee. But his position as Shiva, the devotee is superior to that. But his position as devotee, he's superior to the other devotees. Verses 69 to 79. Lord Shiva instructs the Prachetas. Lord Shiva instructs, so that's the prayer. So we see he's discussing about the Lord basically in his forms of the Chaturvyuha. Mm-hmm. Right? And how how they're the source of everything. You know, it would be a short form of the Chaturshloki. I mean, a longer form of the Chaturshloki, but specifically about the Chaturvyuha, bringing that mm-hmm. aspect out about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so how they are the basis of everything, the source of everything, they are everything. Everything is meant for them. Right? So then that's there. So it just has its particular flavor of connected with Shiva. So that's why this song then is a very good song for understanding the philosophy and applying it in one's life. Yes.
How the Chaturvyuha is connected to Lakshmi? In this Lakshmi, what is the word? We're using this last year. We were using this study guides last year. Lakshmi Tantra.
Oh, Lakshmi is the one who affects what they do. In other words, Sankarshan, let's say, is in charge of knowledge. But whose knowledge? That's Lakshmi. Right, so the Lord accomplishes things, but through his energies. So then from Lakshmi Tantra, then you're looking at it from her perspective, how she accomplishes the Lord's desire. Right, so in other words, the mechanics are going to be there from Lakshmi's perspective. Does that make sense?
Because she's using the words like, I do this through Sankarshan, through Prajnana.
Yes, yes. Because he's the Shaktiman. So, therefore, she applies this aspect of Sankarshan. So you have the what do you call it? Jnana and Bala. Right? So those are going to be the two. So then Bala will be the masculine, Jnana will be the feminine. You have the strength, but with that knowledge, then you can apply it. You know, or you can look at it the other way around. You know, so that's the thing, is that each thing has its masculine and feminine.
You know. She's infusing them too.
Yeah, so the knowledge itself would be the masculine, the application of the knowledge would be the feminine. You understand? So it's always... That's the point of understanding the formulas nicely, then you can see always how it will apply. You know, so that's why, and because they're unlimited, then we will understand to our capacity, and that's perfect. So that's the point of the Vedic. There's never a point in which the knowledge is not enough. The modern is, until you finish the knowledge, you don't know anything. But the Vedic is, you understand these basic principles, then how much you can add detail to it, it just gets more and more able to, broader to apply. Yes. But the perfection of the knowledge is still the same.
Yes.
Well, the modern, you may or may not ever get to actually understanding what it's for or how it works. For the Vedic, this idea, it starts from there. That's why it's seemingly so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when the Bhagavatam introduces a new perspective mm-hmm. on the formulas, that's when we get bewildered, and then yes. for a few weeks, few months, then it's all this, that, then we adjust with that, and then the previous one then becomes so easy.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And the present one we're working on then takes more explanation. But then the ones from last year, the year, those are, you know, you can means the earlier ones, you can just even infer them, you don't even have to mention them, you know what it's talking
yes.
about.
Yes.
Is that something?
Yes.
So just like that, it just keeps developing. Lord Shiva instructs the Prajetas to chant this prayer while fixing their minds upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Being situated within their hearts, the Lord will soon become very pleased if they faithfully follow this process. Any devotee of the Lord who chants this prayer with great attention and reverence, with mind absorbed in Him, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay. Because that means, in other words, one will come to the point of perfection means being liberated from the material, but the greatest perfection is then being situated in devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. next verse. My dear sons, O my dear sons of the king, just execute your occupational duty as kings with a pure heart. Just chant this prayer, fixing your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. That will bring you all good fortune, for the Lord will be very much pleased with you. Footnote 12. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti comments, perform your prescribed duties. This statement indicates the Pachetas had karma misra bhakti. Okay. That they're engaging their duties in the Lord's service. Right? It doesn't mean that they don't get more advanced than it's just pure bhakti. But the idea is that they're trying to develop to that place of pure bhakti. So they're going to do it through this karma misra bhakti. So you have pure devotional service or you have mixed devotional service. Mixed means that that you can either be in, how you say, engaging an aspect of karma and jnana in the Lord's service, and there's still that identification with it, but it's engaged in the Lord's service, so it's progressive. That will bring one very quickly to pure devotional service, where the form of it won't change, but now you're doing pure devotional service, you just are using the tools of karma and jnana to do it. Right? Or it can be where you're attached to that aspect of karma or jnana, and you're willing to use it in the Lord's service. So that will be that process will be slower because the attachment's greater. Does that make sense? So the karma misra bhakti goes from being very attached to it, where you're just kind of including Krishna, to basically is completely including Krishna. Just there may be a little bit of a preference there. So in other words, depending on which you're looking at it, whether you're looking at the progressive aspect or you're looking at the mixed part. Right? Let us say someone's performing mixed devotional service. Okay, it's 90% karma and 10% bhakti. But compared to zero bhakti, 10's good. So if somebody's just beginning devotional service, 10% devotional service is great. Right? But after some years, but the point is now, so we're going to talk about the glory of it. Mm-hmm. To inspire them. But if they take the position and become proud that I'm doing great, I'm a great devotee, then you have to point out that no, mixed devotional service is not good.
We're talking about the intent also.
Yes.
Or mainly about the intent.
Intent's the main thing. Because
then we could say that this one is karma misra bhakti and then the other one is bhakti misra karma.
No, even within devotees, because bhakti misra karma, that's generally we're talking about the non-devotees. Like that. So you might get a devotee that in a particular area they are doing bhakti misra karma, but their overall goal in life is going to be Krishna. So we would just say that that's very mixed devotional service.
Mm-hmm. So bhakti is always the intent, just
because. Yes, it's just a matter of how much, how broad you're seeing, how much Krishna is involved. So now, the same thing we're inspiring, but at the same time we have to point out, because the whole thing, the modern, oh, you just have to inspire, you just have to do and just encourage and all that. But if they don't know what's wrong, they won't correct it. So they have to simultaneously know vidya and avidya. They have to know what's right and wrong at the same time. That's a value. You know, if you only point out what's wrong, that's a problem. If you only point out what's right, that's a problem. You have to show the balance. What's right is the main, is the primary. What's wrong, that's the secondary that has to adjust for a better secondary. Is that something?
Okay, yes.
Because they're at the level of karma misra bhakti, is that why it says that any devotee of the Lord who chants this prayer will get the greatest perfection?
Yes, because it's at any, even if you're a pure devotee, you get perfection because you're seeing Krishna in everything. So it just reminds you of Krishna and you're always applied. Because the point is this prayer can always be applied. So whatever position you're at, that's the difference is we don't have, technically in form, we don't have beginner's stuff. We only have what they do in the spiritual world. We just apply it that the beginner can use it. Right? Like in modern knowledge, you have beginning, you have kindergarten knowledge, then you have grade school, then you have secondary, then you have you know, your undergraduate, graduate. But in the Vedic, you only have knowledge. Now, of this knowledge, there's certain things that certain people can handle at different times. Like little kids, they can handle, they need the fundaments. But the fundament, we always look at the fundaments simply to mean, you know, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, 4. But the fundaments also mean sambandhavidaya, the formulas. Because that is the main fundament that you're going to hang the other fundaments on. So for us, when we say fundamental, we mean the primary aspect. So that's the problem. When you use these, even you use the proper terms, they don't mean anything in modern context. Because they'll think fundamental simply means, you know, ABCs. But no, fundamental means what is language, what's communication. You know, you as a person are communicating to another person. Tell me the school they teach that in. Right? Even on an advanced level. You'll learn it on an advanced level because then you're going to make money off of that. But doing that because you're supposed to, that's etiquette, that's culture. Maybe a finishing school will. But then it's just known as a finishing school. Do they still have finishing schools? They still have them? They have, yeah. Okay, so there's still some people who value this stuff.
And then there's fundamentalists.
That's another thing, because they only see the secondary. But when we say fundamental, we mean the primary.
Yeah.
You know? So that is just, you have numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C. Well, what is A? What is B? What is C? What do they mean? You know, how do they function? How do they? So that's the first verses that you learn in Sanskrit grammar is who is everybody? The grammar, the letters come from Narayan, so they're non-different from him. And then, you know, what's that? A, A, E, E, U, U, Ananta. These are the Anantas. These are all the form of the Lord is Ananta. E, E, Ri, Ri, U, U, E, Ri, Ri, Chatur Bhujaha. Those are the Chaturbhuja. So they will function according to how the Chaturbhuja works. A-I-O-L. That's Chaturbhuja. Yeah, Chaturbhuja and Chaturbhuja. In a sense, so they're already establishing the fundamentals there. So the philosophy, this is what you're teaching the little kids. And then you're showing them how it works. And so it'll take a lifetime to fully understand it. And even then you can unlimitedly go on. But that's given to them. But in the modern, they never give that. Oh, they can't understand this. So it's not worthwhile. The teacher doesn't understand it.
So they end up learning far more than language.
No,
in the Vedic.
No, they learn what is language. The modern doesn't learn what language is. Mm. You know, you're supposed to communicate. You're supposed to. You're having people. There's relationships. You're interacting. That's what language is. That's not taught. At no level it's taught. Yes. You could bring a PhD and they would go, wow. But that's what you're supposed to be teaching the kids. Then when they get up to that PhD level, then what do you have? Then you have something of substance. You don't have a mental speculator. You understand? That's the difference in the Vedic approach. You know, some because we have rules, then those who without rules, they'll say we're fundamentalists. Because we say the fundament's there, then those who are proud of their academic development, the scholarship, then they'll say, oh, you're just giving basics. Like I was showing this mathematician. Means, you know, he's a postgraduate mathematician. How the Vedic system of math, everything's addition. You're just applying addition in different directions. Right? You do it forward, you get addition. You do addition backwards, you get subtraction. Like they say, 7 minus 3, okay, is 4. That's, we'd call that subtraction. But the Vedic, you'd have 3 plus what equals 7. So you don't have to learn different things. Now the modern, it gets confusing. You just have to know addition. That's all you have to know. Mm-hmm. But you have to know the formulas, how to apply the addition to get the different effects. Right? Multiplication, what's that? That's a whole new thing. No, all it is adding in numbers, yes. In groups.
Yes.
And so then division is subtracting in groups.
Yes.
So reverse addition in groups is so it's one thing. Now that is something a kid can grasp. And it doesn't become confusing. Otherwise, as soon as you move on to the next scene, they get lost. It's a new whole area. And then you have to come up with some weirdo stuff, you know, the letters are the train's coming along with all the different particles of speech on it and all this kind of stuff. And I only remember that there was a train. Right? I wouldn't have any clue of what was on that train. You know? Right? You remember the train? Yeah. Remember what parts were on the train? Not at all. You know, so it's kind of like, you know.
It was yellow.
It was yellow, yeah, with red highlights, yep. Right? You know? Yeah. So, that's it.
1066.
Yeah, 1066, yeah. Like that, yeah. Just remember that. Yeah, does that make sense?
In fact, the song even has a question. It says, conjunction, junction, what's your function? I don't remember what the answer is. I just remember they asked a question.
Yeah. No, but it's how you say it. Huh? Junction, junction. Yeah. I mean, conjunction, what is your function? You know, like, I mean, what does this do? Like, so that's why you don't remember it.
Okay.
Right? Because anything so that doesn't have any meaning, you forget quickly. You know, it's a cultural process. So. So.
Yeah.
So that's the point. Come at these things like that, but that's not what you're teaching. You teach them memorization of stuff, so they think, oh, little kids, they can't memorize. No, little kids can memorize anything. It's like, parents move to the country, new country. Kids move to the new country. In 3 months, the kids speak the language fluently, maybe on a basic level. They speak. The parents still are trying to figure out, you know, which one was, you know, this and which one's that, and, you know, like that. So that's the whole thing. So the Vedic is everything to memorize, all the fundamentals, everything like that. That's what you teach the little kids. And the fun part is they couldn't care less about knowing what it means. They're just happy to know it. Then, when they get to, but you have to know all those things to be able to explain what it means. Then when they get to adolescence, now they're only going to deal with things that make sense to them. Otherwise, why waste their time? Because their time is so valuable, right? And so therefore, but now they have all the fundamentals. Now you can explain it all. So they want to know skills. But you can only, when you know the fundamentals, how they work, can you apply skills. So now you can it's just skills. So all the skills that they would teach at higher levels because they're more advanced, now you teach to them. They just want to know the skill.
Yes.
Why the skill works, what its purpose is, ultimately, they couldn't care less either. Then when they get to 16, then they want to know why this should be done, you know, ultimately. Whereas then you can teach philosophy. But now they already have the basis and the skill. So now, from 16, you learn philosophy. Well, in the modern, then you're just starting to learn some skills. Mm-hmm. Not even that. You've got to put in another couple of years, then go to university for 4 years, then you'll start doing skills. You know? 20 years of fundamentals, and then you start getting the skills? That's pretty sad. You know, for a culture that bases themselves on being, efficient, it's one of the worst educational models in history. You know, at the time when you want to be making money and dealing with life, you know, it's the first time the girl's ever boiled water or changed a diaper. And it's like the end of the world for her.
And they remain silent on values.
Yeah. Well, because if you say, then you're impressing on them why my values should be there. They should be free to choose for themselves. But choose from what? You know? Take them out in the middle of the street. Choose whatever you like. No, you take them in a store and say, okay, we got this, this, this. What do you want? You want vanilla? You want strawberry? You want chocolate? Right? You know, stand in the street. What do you want? Anything you want. You know? Is that what you're offering? I'll take the purple Lamborghini over there. Oh, no, I don't mean that one. I mean, okay, I'll take that, how you say, those Gucci shoes. We don't mean that either. You know, so that's the thing, is it's presented as if it's this wonderful, broad-minded, open, accommodating, but it's not at all, because if you don't say the right thing, you do not get a good grade from that teacher. So it's speculative, it's totally bogus, and it doesn't get the results. Kids don't know the language, don't know the math, don't know how to communicate, don't know how to behave as humans, don't even know what a human is. You know, it's something after Homo erectus. That's kind of all you know if you even remember that much. Is Homo erectus still good?
They still use it.
They still use it, okay. Because everything else, Neanderthal is out now. It was good up to a few years ago. I could use Neanderthal. But now I can't use Neanderthal anymore. That's the thing, the old names you could say, right? Now the new ones, it's like, how do you say it? What's Australopithecus? Yeah, that's the point. How do you say it? You know? Lucy, now that's something you can say. Lucy, you can say Lucy. Right? Yeah.
She was just fabricated from spare parts, so. Yeah,
really. That's funny.
It could have went through the other one.
Yeah, quite not. Isn't that nose a bit long? I'd say that's an arm. You know? No, it looks good. You know.
Okay. Maharaj, yes. It's better to have no modern education than any education. It's better to have no
modern education than... It's better to have no education than modern. Yes. Factually, yes. Yeah. So, because if you start off, even just like just to say, even you have traditional, old traditional models, I don't know if they still use it, but I was reading this article on some American lady, they had gone, I think, moved to France for some work, the husband and all that. And so they're Americans, and the kid's American, they speak. But then schools there, then someone had recommended, instead of sending their kid to the American school, because there's always an American school around, that to send them to the French school, and there's some special name for it. So they got four. And they don't teach any reading, writing, anything from years. Mm-hmm. All they taught was how to properly speak, the etiquette, how to walk, talk, sit, interact, everything. In other words, how to be French by culture. Yes. And once they got that, then they would have the culture. Exactly. Then when they're 8 or 9, then they start learning the reading and all that, and they'll learn it very quickly. Well, the Americans freak out because if you don't start that at, 1.5, then the guy's going to get behind and is not going to become the, get the first spot in his job or something, like that. So she was talking about how difficult it was for her as an American to adjust with that. But she found that the kid was just so much nicer, they come back more cultured and this and that, knew the language, and even though she's there an adult, she didn't know, hardly anything compared to what her kid knew. So whether those systems still work, I don't know. But she was talking about this, just that this was... So the effort was on culture, And then after that, you learn the other things. Mm-hmm. Like that. Well, you certainly see is that somehow or another, the Western... your standard, quote-unquote, Western model, it's all on the skill, how to get to head quickly and all that. I think the Japanese worked out... I don't know what they're down to now, but they used to 1.5-year-old they could teach in school. I don't know that they haven't pushed it back more. Like that. Put special suction cups with speakers on the womb, to play the knowledge while they're, before they're born or something like that.
Bhagavatam.
So that's why Prabhupada made the point of that Viennese music school. Yeah. That if you went to the school, then if you had not studied music at all before, you had one price. If you had studied music before at any other school, the price was more. Yes. Because they had to include getting you to unlearn what you already knew. Mm-hmm. And so nowadays when we see is any opposition to the Vedic, any difficulties in the culture, that's coming from devotees' previous samskar of their modern education. Yes. And while before, back in the 70s, 80s, modern education was given zero validity. I mean zero. Zero would be, being nice. Yes. Like that. Now it's given full authority even over Vedic. Yes. So that's coming from samskar, and that's coming from the first generation. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's coming from the Vedas, it has any basis, it's that it's just pure 100% attachment. Mm-hmm. So that is where it is. Because otherwise, in so many years, why can't we establish Varnashram stuff like that? Why can't we just do standard stuff? Mm-hmm. Even organizing something administrative we can't do. Because if you follow the modern education, the modern schools, you're taught to be a shudra, not a leader. So therefore, you get everyone together with that kind of background, and they can discuss all day, and they can't create a system of leadership. Right? But if you come in from the Vedic, they could do that immediately. Because that devotees are trained in from the platform of the soul. They rely on that, devotees could create whatever they want immediately. You know, just a short time. But if they want to go by modern, who has the samskar for it? Who's come from a background, they went to a private school and went through these things and their parents were professionals that they trained them in this, that they actually have the mentality to actually lead on the material platform. So therefore, from if you want to take mundane, there's hardly anybody who's qualified to do that. You know, and they're not the ones asking. Ambarish, he's the richest guy in Ambarish. Are they asking him? No, but you ever met him? So nice, so gentle, so you know, like unassuming and things like that. You know, he goes to a meeting and all this and that, and the others in the meeting, all the big guy and this and that, and you know, like that. So then, that's the problem with the modern, not practical. And who's dreamt this modern system up? The intellectuals. You know, and how practical are they? And who's taking advantage of it? Government and businessmen. And then, as Prabhupada said, then who suffers? The common person.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanati.